2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Time to take KSL outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to hour number two and the final one, as always, for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. It's great to have you listening wherever you are today, and we're going to focus on some hunts here on this last couple of days of the general deer season. We're already looking ahead to the upland game where quail and, help me out here, Heather, it's quail and pheasant.
Pheasants.
Yeah. The biggest of the upland game seasons are upon us here in the very near future. Let me get Navidomskis back into the conversation here to start the second hour. As always, it's good to connect with you. I miss seeing your face, however.
Thanks. You're the only one.
Which is probably true.
I'm sure that's not true.
I got a face for radio.
Yeah. Heather has
Me
never
too.
Seen this man. She would not know how true that is, actually. And that's all in love, by the way. We take shots at each other all the time. I don't know that Russell is with us. He may have made a bathroom run or something.
No, I'm back. I got dumped when you were having problems there.
Okay.
And so I restarted my phone while it was quiet.
Well, I'm relieved it wasn't a bathroom run, because sometimes you take the phone with you, and I don't want to be a part of that at all. Heather, this is the way this show goes on Saturday mornings.
I made it.
My new
policy is
perfect.
No phone in the bathroom anymore.
Yeah, thank you.
That was a wonderful policy.
On behalf of all of us. Heather Talley, guys, is our upland game coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. How's the season been so far?
Things are going really well so far, I would like to report. I feel like there's been a lot of really good opportunities for upland game and, you know, the current seasons that have been underway, such as the dove and the grouse seasons. People have been pretty successful. It sounds like they've had a really good hunt, and so now we're just gearing up for pheasant and quail.
Yeah, I don't hide the fact on this show, and none of us really do, that we have very limited hunting experience in our lives. Navi, have you ever hunted?
Oh, absolutely. I'm the
biggest, a child.
I'm a pheasant hunter. I'm a quail hunter. I love that stuff.
All right. And Russ, you? We may have lost him again.
No, I was muted.
Okay.
I had to come back down to the shop. Have I ever hunted pheasant?
Yeah.
Yeah, out in the backyard here. I take a cardboard box with a little stick and a string.
Yeah, okay. And had much success, I'm sure.
I love it, Tim. It's one of my favorite seasons, and there's something about the temperature and the color of the landscape that just draws me to it. And then you add to that the birds themselves. I think it's the most aesthetic thing to do is, upland game hunt, no question.
Heather,
love shooting pheasants.
Heather, did we lose you for a second there?
You sure did. I don't know why. My phone just said call failed, and I called you guys back, and now I'm here again.
I heard it ringing in the background, so I'm glad we reconnected. Just in time to hear my dove hunting story. I went on dove hunts twice with friends just outside of my hometown of Pocatello, Idaho, and found out that it was like chasing butterflies or trying to get a what would be another good example? A bumblebee, trying to catch that with chopsticks or something. I was not good at it because they flit and flutter, and after 2 days of being frustrated, I kind of gave up on it. But you're saying that there are quite a few people in the state of Utah that participate, huh?
Yes, there are quite a few. I don't have the numbers right in front of me from last year's annual report, but we do have those annual reports online every year that people can look up and see how many people participate in different hunts and how successful they were and what they've harvested. So it's a lot of really good information there online.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. Let's focus on what's coming November 7th, starting with the pheasants. And from what I read that Faith Jolly sent over to us, you're expecting kind of an average year.
Yeah, mostly an average year. We've got in the northern and central areas of the state, and in some areas we've seen, like in the southeastern region, we have a bit more pheasants than that. We've got some good hunting conditions, but just like last year. And we're really excited also about our put and take program that we do every year, where we purchase 10 reared birds and then we let them release them out on some of our WMAs and walk-in access areas and other public lands so that they're available for people to hunt.
Yeah, one of the challenges has been for a long time that many of these birds are going to be found on private property, and that gets a little sticky, although the walk-in access stuff has turned out to be a great program. The number of pen birds, I think, pen-reared roosters, are going to be of interest to people because it's a pretty big number.
Yeah, we've got our exact number is 12,107 birds that we're actually going to be releasing throughout the state. And that'll be done generally, it's the last part of the week, every week in November. So people can go out and hit those WMAs and those walk-in access areas. And if they, of course, do know of private property owners that have wild populations there on their property, they can always just get written permission and still go hunt those places as well. But it is, it's quite a few. We're definitely wanting to give a lot of opportunity.
Do you have any information about how they move? Because I have a friend that works for a company that actually sales hunts, and every morning he goes out and places the birds, and he says they're pretty much exactly where he places them, and he has to change places so the hunter won't know where they are. But he says that the birds generally don't move. They just kind of sit right where he puts them.
As far as the pen-reared birds, there's a lot of truth to that. They just kind of hang out and, you know, you're taking them from these giant coops, essentially, that they've been raised in and then putting them out here in the wild. So they're just looking for any brushy cover that they can to kind of hunker down in. So, yeah, they don't do a whole lot of moving, definitely. And, yeah, so we do try to spread out what areas of the WMAs and walk-in access areas that we place them in for that reason.
Do you guys list when they're placed and where they're placed online somewhere?
Yeah, it's great. We have a whole release map that we have on the website. So if you just visit wildlife.utah.gov and then search in the search wildlife bar, type in pheasant releases, there's a few different links that come up that you can click on a pheasant release map, and it shows all of the areas in the state where we release pen-reared birds.
Few things have startled me more than being on a pheasant hunt where you have maybe an hour or 2 hours of quiet time and you're just walking, and then you flush one at your feet and your heart just pounds through the top of your head. I mean, it is so exciting. And it's one thing to do that as a human, but if you bring your dogs along, they can really help with that, can't they?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you can hunt without dogs if you're just walking really slowly, like you mentioned, and then stopping every few minutes to try to get them kind of nervous so they might flush out. But if you've got dogs with you, it makes it a huge difference with your hunting experience. It's great to have good dogs.
So the season starts on November 7th, but the youth will actually have an early start as they do every year, starting on Halloween, it looks like.
That's right. This year it did fall on Halloween, so that's really exciting for them. And they actually have the youth quail hunt starting on Halloween as well. We did extend the youth pheasant hunt this year. That was something that we went through the process last year, through the legislative process to do, because with these pen-reared birds, as you well know, they don't have a super high survival rate in the wild. So we want to make sure that we're giving those youth the opportunity to harvest as many as they can. So they actually get those couple extra days this year to go out and harvest as well.
Oh, that's great. And again, we'll just tell everybody, if you were 17 years of age or younger on July 31st and you've completed your hunter education, you're eligible to participate. If you haven't finished your hunter education and you're at least 12, you still might be able to participate by going to wildlife.utah.gov and then finding out more about the trial hunting program. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of what the quail season is going to be like for both the California and the Gamble.
They're also comparable to the pheasant. They're doing okay. We've seen a lot of good brood production in the southeastern Utah as far as the California quail go, and pretty average in the rest of the state. And then, of course, for Gamble's quail, those are only located in Washington County. So just really looking at the habitats as far as hunting. For Gamble's quail, they'd want to focus more in on Joshua trees and dry washes. And then for California quail, more of those wet riparian washes with brushy cover, and where they like to eat a lot of flowers and grasses and everything. So those are some good habitat areas to look into.
Yeah, you really do have to decide before you pick your spot whether you're going to look for pheasants or you're going to look for quail, because you won't always find them in the same place, will you?
Yeah, definitely. You definitely want to check that out ahead of time and see kind of where you're, what we've got as far as our forecast is on our website, if people want to check that out before they decide on the place to go hunt. And on that release map, as far as the penrid birds for pheasants, that can't, those locations can also change every year. So people want to check that out every year and not just assume that they'll be there again.
One quick clarification as far as seasons go, they both start on November 7th, but the pheasant season, much shorter. It'll be over on December 6th. The quail actually extend, I think, all the way through the end of the year.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Okay.
So they have the, after you're done with your pheasant season, you can still have some good opportunity to go ahead and go for some quail.
Yeah. Yep, fantastic opportunities that are right around the corner, and that's why we wanted to connect today with our Upland Game Coordinator, Heather Talley. Thanks so much for your help.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
No problem at all. We deal with that on a regular basis around here. We appreciate you joining us. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be connecting with Bob and Mark, the road tripping boys. We'll find out where they've been and where they're headed this week. Next on KSL Outdoors Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our thanks again to Heather Talley, our Upland Game Manager for the Division of Wildlife Resources, for spending a couple of minutes with us. We have reconnected now with Bob and Mark, Bob Grove, Mark Wade from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. We enjoyed the conversation last half hour about Moab, but I want to hear more about your trip to Kolob Canyons. Was that this past week you guys were there, Bob?
Yeah, just this week. Mark and I, during the what we call our off season, going into the fall and winter months, we try to get out on a hike every week. And so we decided to go up to Kolob. And we've hiked most of the trails in Kolob, but one that I haven't done, I think Mark did it once before, was the South Fork of the Taylor Creek. And so we went up the, which is actually a longer hike than the Middle Fork of Taylor Creek, which is a popular hike there. And it, I got to tell you, it was amazing. The colors were great. I was afraid that we were going to be either a little bit too early or too late. We got there. It looks like the colors were starting to decline a little bit. But I got to tell you, this is a spectacular hike. Mark, you're surrounded by these, 2,000-foot cliffs going into the end of a box canyon.
And what was exciting, Tim, was, just like we talked in the first hour about some of the music you can hear in the outdoors, we were walking up this long canyon. We're walking, and the leaves are starting to make a bed to walk on in this narrow trail. And at points, there's this canopy of leaves that you're walking for 100, 200 yards through this canopy of oaks and different types of leaves. And then we started to hear what I would describe as the song of the siren. We're hearing these harmonies. Somebody was singing in the canyon.
Wow.
In great harmony. And we're walking up canyon listening to this music. And we got a little further up and found there were three people up there with somebody had a small camera, and they were singing and making this little music video that they wanted to make. And it was beautiful.
Probably perfect acoustics to record something like that. Now, this is inside Zion National Park, right?
It is. It's on the north end of the park off of I-15. If you're heading down from Salt Lake going towards St. George, it's the next exit after the New Harmony exit. It goes up 5 miles into the canyon. It's a one-way, you know, it's a drive that goes to a dead end. Where we went hiking, the first major parking lot on the way up is the Taylor Creek parking lot for the Taylor Creek hike. You keep going past that. I don't know how far, Mark. What do you say, about a mile or so? And there's another turnout parking lot there with a restroom, and that's where you can park to take a hike up into that canyon. That's the one that we did this week.
Mm, I can't imagine, and I'm sure it is the perfect time of year. I had hoped to be able to get down there and do a slot canyon with you guys sometime this fall, but my schedule took a turn with a surprise opportunity down in Vegas that sort of keeps my weekends a little busy around here. But you can speak to that. This really is the perfect time to be thinking about getting down there, as long as you're watching the weather.
Yes, and the temperatures are dropping just a little bit. In fact, this weekend, I know across the state, it's going to drop quite a bit. But what's interesting is we're only at maybe 4,500 feet, maybe 5,000. I'm going to say 5,500 feet at this point we're talking about, actually. So there's still great color in there. Last night is actually Thursday night, I should say, that we were in there. Maybe it was Wednesday night, Bob, but it was just perfect, and we didn't need a jacket the whole time.
You know, I want to be you. I want to not know what day of the week it is and have those memories. That's my dream retirement right there. But there are lots of opportunities. I was reading that there's over 20 miles of hiking trails up in there, and you were on just one of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Taylor Creek, the main Taylor Creek hike. That's about 5 miles round trip. And then you've got Lee Pass that goes out to Laverkan Creek and eventually to Kolob Arch, which is around 7 miles each way, Mark. So about 14-mile round trip hike. And then you've got the Timber Creek hike, which is right at the end of the road. When you come to the end of the road, you're going to come to a big circular parking lot. And in the back of the parking lot is the trailhead to go to Timber Creek, which offers some amazing panoramic views of Kolob and the surrounding area, Pine View Mountains and so forth. So those are some of the main trails. And then there's other little trails along the way, like we mentioned this one we went on this week. And the trail, that the South Fork Trail, was probably about, 7 miles, Mark?
Round trip, it was about that, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting, Tim, about the fingers of Kolob, that's what we're talking about here, is you could hold your hand up in front of your face with your fingers straight up, and that's what you're looking at. You've got a canyon in between. Though you're looking in between your fingers, it's 1,500 feet straight up on both sides.
Wow.
And you're walking in between your fingers, if you will, each, and there are five different fingers that you can go through. And then, you, as Bob says, you actually got a way to go around the bottom of all of those and go all the way up to Kolob Arch. So there's just some remarkable views and hikes.
Right, your description of it is amazing. I don't know that you need special permits, Bob, for just hiking in there, but if you're going to do backpacking or canyoneering, you probably do.
Yeah, it's still a part of the National Park, Zion National Park. So, yes, you do. You know, this is actually the canyon we went in yet this week is a very popular route for rock climbers. You can see there's kind of an area near the end of the canyon that has been used by rock climbers in there, and you do need a permit for that.
Okay. All right. Great stuff. And if you want to look it up, I know they've got lots of information online about it. Kolob Canyons of Zion National Park. There's some photos there. Or my advice would be just follow these two guys. Go road tripping with BobandMark.com. And you can see, I don't know, were you flying the drone at all that trip?
Not in the park.
No.
Oh, all right. I didn't want to get you arrested or see your picture on the wall at the entrance gate. good answer, boys. Good answer.
We know the rules. We know the rules.
So no drone footage, but there would be some fantastic photos, I'm sure. Bob and Mark, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks, Tim.
We'll take a break. We've got another news update on the half hour, and then we'll finish out the program, the final half hour of KSL Outdoors Radio, coming right up.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.